Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. The LSU Fighting Tigers take on Southeast Louisiana at 6:45 Saturday, September 20th. And Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, joins us to talk about it. Chris, welcome to the show.
No, as always, thank you, Newell. Excited for another weekend. Great to be 3-0.
Absolutely. We come off a 20-10 win over Florida, which was a great win. We created a firestorm. I was watching videos of folks, sports talk radio and other folks in Florida about their performance against the LSU Fighting Tigers. Five interceptions. They want everybody's head out there right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was not a great performance, obviously, by Florida. And, you know, coming into that game, you had to wonder, and I think we talked about it last week, you know, coming off the loss at home to South Florida, you know, would they come out swinging? Obviously, they did or tried to, but it was pregame. And I think all that did was fire up an already fired up LSU team. So I don't know that that worked all that well, if that was the strategy. But I just think it was the defense. I mean, just from the front, defensive front, the linebacker play, which was incredible considering you lost a couple of guys, that you had to backfield and really didn't lose a beat. And then we saw DBU, I think, is back. I mean, these guys are covering receivers. They're allowing the safeties to kind of roam the field, watch the eyes of the quarterback. And frankly, this defense, for whatever reason, Newell took Florida out of the run game. I mean, Jordan Ball is one of the best running backs in the SEC, one of the tops in the country. I mean, he's a spectacular runner. But they decided to go ahead and, you know, put the ball up in the air 49 times. And, you know, I was told a long time ago, when you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them aren't good. That's an incompletion and an interception. And so, again, they put a lot of pressure on their quarterback. LSU, in turn, also put a lot of pressure on their quarterback. And it resulted in five takeaways, including a pick six. So I just think, again, I can understand the frustration with Florida, because as that game went on and on, even though it was only a 10-point win, and I know a lot of LSU fans and even the Tigers themselves want to put more points on the board, but that game really wasn't close in the second half.
No. A couple of observations for me, and I want to get your reaction. I thought they revealed their overall team speed, especially on defense, in this game more so than they did in the Clemson game. These guys are lightning, and they were all over the field. And there were two of those interceptions I would have bet money was going to be a completed pass, and then somebody came out of, I don't know where they came from. Even on the replay, it was hard to tell where they came from, and jumped in front of the ball and intercepted it.
You know, it's interesting because I went back and obviously watched the game film, and, you know, there were several, including all five interceptions, where I actually slowed it down. pre-snap. And last night on Coach Kelly's radio show, I asked him, I said, you know, it's interesting because on all five interceptions, there was a four-man rush, which meant, again, if you're the offense in Florida, you're thinking, okay, I got a four-man rush here. We've got an advantage at the line of scrimmage. Why aren't we using Jordan Ball, our running back? And instead, they put the ball in the air. And his point to me was it was because they were so uncomfortable, because they picked their spots when they sent Harold Perkins, when they sent a full-on blitz. And they had DJ Lagway so completely uncomfortable that even when they only rushed four, he still was sped up. And he still didn't realize that LSU had the numbers. I mean, you go look at the A.J. Halsey interception, I think, is a perfect example. A.J. Halsey at the snap of the football looks like a center fielder waiting for the swing. He's just sitting there. He's watching DJ Lagway. He knows all his guys have the receivers on the field covered. He just wants to know which way he's going with the football. As soon as he saw him throw it just inside the far side hash, easy pickings. He just jumps up, jumps in front of the route, and the rest is history. And, again, I think that is why this LSU defense is so impactful because, yeah, they can get after the quarterback. And we saw that a couple of times when Lagway was running for his life, throwing off his back foot for an incompletion. But it's because they just don't know every snap what's coming and where the pressure's coming from. And that's an overall building result. In a given game. And I think, again, that's why I don't think the second half really wasn't worried at all, even though they only had a 10-point lead. Florida just was unable to really have any semblance of flow to offense.
Yeah. You know, I've described to you how I get emotional, and when we lost our linebacker for allegedly spearing, I was like, oh, man, don't tell me. Here we go. You know, the house of cards has come tumbling down. You know, what next? Because it happened so early in the game. It was like, you know, what's coming our way this time?
Yeah, it was a big loss. I mean, you're only 2.5, not even completely 2.5 minutes into the game in the first quarter that you lose the heart and soul of your defense, one of the team captains in weeks on a play that, again, there was no malicious intent. There was no launching.
No.
There was contact with the crown of the helmet, so I know it checks that box. But again, you know, last night I took some time to ask Coach Kelly. I said, hey, are the coaches – again, we understand why targeting was enacted as a penalty. And we understand concussions. We understand CTE. We're all trying to make the game safer. And I think that rule, when it came in, really changed the way guys coaching, the coach tackling, the way the guys – go about tackling, and I think it's done its job. However, in that play, Tamarcus Cooley actually got the ball carrier kind of around the shoulders and was starting to, you know, begin to slow him down. Witt comes flying in. He thinks he's probably going to hit him in the midsection with his helmet, but because Cooley and him were battling, his head dropped down. Suddenly you have what I consider incidental helmet-to-helmet contact.
Sure.
So I asked Coach Kelly, I said, is there any thought to going back to the old face mask penalty where there was the face mask for 5 yards and then the flagrant face mask was 15 yards? And make that so that, again, if there's launching, if there's a malicious intent, and I know that's gray, but we all kind of know when a guy is speared, to use your term.
Sure.
Should that be the penalty plus the disqualification and maybe incidental contact with the helmet? If only one of the three factors are involved and it happens to be helmet to helmet with the crown, can we kind of look at that and say, okay, look, that's a 15-yard penalty, and one more of those and you're disqualified? Because I think it penalizes guys who certainly Whit Weeks was not out trying to hurt that player. It just happened to be their bodies were in the same position where their helmets made contact. But I digress from that just simply because Devon Keyes, what a performance. Wes Weeks, his older brother, what a performance. Both of those guys with career-high tackles, 15 and 12 respectively. We saw Tylan Singleton, a young player. He played very well. We even saw Zach Weeks, the youngest Week brother. So, you know, Coach Kelly told us this summer this team is got a lot of depth, and it was on full display, at least at the linebacker position, on Saturday.
I hate to see that happen to Weeks, but when you create that opportunity for others to kind of shine, and they did, that pays off tenfold, I think, further down the season. because they know they can do it. And they did it against top talent.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think that's the silver lining, as you put it, is that, you know, I don't think there's going to be any. Again, you don't want to see Whit Weeks or Harold Perkins or any of those guys have to leave the game for whatever reason. But I think everybody feels a little bit better that, man, Coach was right. They really do have some depth. And, you know, I'm liking the linebacker position specifically, Newell, to kind of the problem Jay Johnson has with his baseball team every year, it seems, which is you got guys who can play and play at a very high level. And there's only so many snaps you can give them. And how do you manage right. that? So I expect to see maybe a little more rotation as we get deeper into the season, because again, the competition's going to get tougher, but it's a good feeling to think, there's not a big drop off, regardless of who you plug in there at linebacker. And for that matter, so far, I like what we've seen with the combinations up front defensively. And then the guys we've seen on the back end. I mean, look, Deshaun Spears won two awards this week, SEC Defensive Player of the Year and the Nagurski Defensive Player of the Week. And Deshaun Spears is a guy who's platooned a little bit at that safety position. So all he needed was a big game like that to boost his confidence, because we know he has the talent and skill set. So, I mean, the depth is everywhere on this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep. Let's talk about offense. Tiger Land is upset that we're not putting more points on the board. If what they're talking about with Garrett Nussmeier, the oblique injury, I've had something very similar to that. It is incredibly painful, depending on what motions stimulates that shot of pain. And if it's the twist of the body while you're throwing the ball, there's no way you can throw it without anticipating the grimace, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the other piece, is that this injury goes back to, I think, fall camp, which, you know, it's been slowly getting better, and it's kind of like the old high ankle sprain. It's not really a treatment. I mean, they obviously do treatment, but it's more of the pain content. How much pain can you handle? But, you know, I was talking to Coach last night, you know, off air, and I said, yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, just right now, go find a football or pick up something and throw like a quarterback, and you're going to see where that part of the body, just in that motion, is going to be at the very least uncomfortable, not to mention trying to twist and turn and get away from 300-pound guys coming at you at full speed, and on top of that, sometimes getting hit. The good news is after practice yesterday, Coach Kelly said, you know, Garrett said he felt like he did last year, like he really – thinks that injury or that pain or that uncomfortability is gone. So that's good news. But I don't think there's any question, and Coach talked about it last night. They know they got to score more points. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't like using the transitive property when looking at future matchups, but you do have to look and realize that, you know, Arkansas lost a game last week and they scored 35-plus points. You got to look that Vanderbilt demolished South Carolina at their place, scoring over 40 points. You know, since the loss in week one, Alabama's putting up 50-plus points. So I'm not saying that that's what they're going to be able to do against LSU's defense. The hope is obviously you don't let them do that. But even at best, I don't know that 20 points a game is going to get you where you want to go. So they're well aware of that, and we'll see how big an improvement with Garrett feeling closer to 100%, because we know what he's done. We saw him do it last year. You know, throwing for over 4,000 yards and a boatload of touchdowns. So hopefully that'll be the thing. I know a lot of people talked about maybe let's let him sit out this week. I agree with Coach. I think he needs to get out there. He needs to build that camaraderie and that kind of mindset with his players. And hopefully if things go the way LSU wants it to, we'll get to see some of the other younger players and other players come in. But I think he needs some snaps, and I think he needs some big wins, big individual plays before they head up and take on a team in Ole Miss that you kind of expect is going to put some points on the board.
Chris, you watch a lot of college football. I do as well. I don't know. I get a sense they've allowed DBs to get away with a lot this year. I mean, there's a lot of hands-on down the field. And if you watch the LSU receivers over the last couple of games, they seem to have been, you know, really frustrated by that, and very few calls.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the Louisiana Tech game because we look at that game and we go, wait a minute, we didn't score a lot of points and we didn't really hit a lot of big, deep throws. Well, we tried a bunch, or more so than we did against Clemson, obviously, and more so than we did against Florida. But there were times where, you know, our guys had beaten the defender and they just grabbed and pulled them down and did get the penalty in that case. You know, I've talked to a lot of guys who played the game because I've seen the same thing you do, a lot of hand fighting between the receiver and the defensive back. And then you go, okay, well, when does it rise to the level of the flag coming out? And most people feel like if the offense and defense are both kind of getting position, setting their balance with their hands, if you will, at least that's what they claim, and the defender is looking back at the ball or back right at the line of scrimmage, they'll kind of let that go. Now, if you're full bore, your back is to the quarterback and you're just handful of jersey or grabbing arms, that's probably the most blatant time you'll see a flag come out. But I agree. I mean, they're letting them play a little bit. And I think most players, whether you talk to a guy who played defense like Brandon Taylor, who does our broadcast with us, or Jacob Hester, an offensive guy, they'll kind of say, you know what, I can live with that. It's just the more blatant I'm beat and I'm just grabbing and holding on that usually draws the flag. So I agree with you. There's plenty of contact, but I think that's kind of what – I think that's the emphasis for the officials these days.
Yeah, yeah. So Southeast Louisiana comes in. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not Garrett will play. Your thoughts?
No, I think he will. I mean, Coach Kelly has said as much. And he looked excited, you know, both at his press conference yesterday and then also when he arrived for the radio show that, you know, Garrett feels good. He really feels like himself for the first time in practice this week. And I think for that reason, and also what I said earlier, is why he's going to play. Now, hopefully he doesn't have to play very long. You want to see him go in there, be super efficient, and maybe put the game out of reach, you know, hopefully at least by the early third quarter, and then get to see Van Buren and some other guys. And not just Nussmeier. I mean, you don't want to have, you know, if it's a lopsided game, you certainly don't want to have Harold Perkins and Whit Weeks and you know, you're going to let some young guys play. That's the plan. But I think he certainly is going to start because I think it's more of a detriment, Newell, if he sits out a week and then has to ramp up and go to Ole Miss next week on the road.
Southeast Louisiana, I think, is – did I read somewhere that they're kind of beat up a little bit as well?
That's what I've gotten, but you know, it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, I watched both of their games, quick clips of their last two wins. And the guys that have done the majority of work for Coach Selfo are the guys that are on the field. Now, I don't know exactly what's happened this week in practice, but I don't know that to be a major factor. I expect both of their quarterbacks to go, which they use kind of a dual quarterback system, one that throws a lot more and one that runs a lot more. So I don't know. But I know the plan for Coach Selfo is to get in there, go out and compete and do what Southeastern does, because just trying to change a game plan because you're playing the third best team in the country on their field is not a smart idea, because they got a lot of football left to be played and they were a preseason pick number 3 in the Southland Conference, which is a very competitive football league. So you just want to go in and do what you do and the same stuff you're going to do next week or the week after when you start Southland Conference play and hope you come out injury free. And take that check, go home, and have a smile on your face.
No doubt, for sure. Well, we look forward to the game Saturday night and look forward to listening to you as well. Always enjoy it. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you, Newell. Always enjoy being on the big one. You guys have a great weekend, and go Tigers.
Thank you, sir. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. When we come back, folks, after the break, we'll visit with Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. They're out west. They're playing the Seahawks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. The 0-2 Saints go to Seattle to take on the 1-1 Seahawks. And one thing they have in common is that both teams lose to the 49ers already this year. Mike Haas joins us, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, we're coming to you. We're in Bellevue, so we're just a little east of Seattle. I assume you've been up in this area, you know, Columbia Valley, wine country, Puget Sound, wine country. I assume you know all that, right?
I've not been in the wine country up there, but I've been up there with the Saints, I think, three, maybe four times, and I think we are 0-4. So I never did bring them much luck when I traveled
so
with
to,
them. Yeah,
so I know you've been to a couple of the playoff games.
Oh, yeah.
They've done pretty well. They won the last one here. They won the last four overall. But you're right. It's the playoff games that people remember. And you're right. They both lost to San Francisco in somewhat similar fashions. Seattle was driving on the very last, drive of the game against San Francisco, and they get a sack fumble on Sam Darnold, and they were within probably the 20-yard line and end up losing 17-13. And, the Saints had their final opportunity with a chance to win. It was a sack fumble on Spencer Rattler, final drive. So two final drives. Seattle was much closer. I mean, Seattle, they win that game. They're very close to being 2-0. So this very this is a big one. I mean, it's just a big one. They all are, but after you drop your first two at home and this is your first road game, this kind of experience and crowd and outdoors and real grass, so it'll be a big challenge.
What's the weather supposed to be like, Mike? Do you know?
Yeah, so I didn't know until like yesterday, and I'm packing going, wait, what's the weather like there? So as you know, Seattle is unique in that there's not a big range. Let's go. If it's like 50 in the morning, it's 60 during the day. There's no big movement. And I think it's like 54, 67, sunny, a little partly cloudy. So weather will not be a factor. A gorgeous day, high 60s as a high. Weather will not be a factor. Because sometimes you can get some nasty cold rain. So that is not a problem.
Yeah, I've experienced that up there twice. It's miserable.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not, and it's not easy to play football in either. Right?
No, but this shouldn't be an issue. This should be the first, obviously with the two home games, their first outdoors, and man, this crowd it's a unique stadium, Lumen Field. It actually sits where the King Dome was, right? So the King Dome, which opened after the Superdome, was imploded in 2000, so 24 years. So You start thinking about the impressiveness of Caesar Superdome in year 50. Now, they didn't just implode the kingdom for the heck of it. They had like four teams playing there. So it was, they all kind of went their separate ways, but it just makes you appreciate the Superdome.
So what are going to be the big challenges for the Saints this week with, you know, lining up against the Seahawks, and what do the Seahawks bring that is problematic as a matchup?
So if we look at the Saints' defense versus Seattle's offense, I think there's two key areas, first of which is Kenneth Walker III. He's their running back. He played the Saints, you know, a few years ago, had a 69-yard run. I believe it was 23 or 22. And, you know, so Saints fans know him well. Now, the Saints were able to answer in that game and won it 39-32 because Taysom Hill had a 60-yard touchdown run after Kenneth Walker's, but he ain't around. So Kenneth Walker's tough. Against Pittsburgh, he had 13 carries for 105 yards. And you're going, all right, well, he had a big run in there somewhere. And he really didn't. He just had a lot of bruising runs. He had a 20-yarder, a 19-yard touchdown, a 15-yarder, a 13-yarder, a 9-yarder, a 9-yarder. So he carried it 13 times and averaged it 8.1 yards a carry. That is very impressive, because in week one, he had 10 carries for 20 yards. He only averaged 2. So I think that is obviously key number one. You can't let anybody run, you know, 10 yards a pop on you, or you're just, you know, it sets up everything. And then the second is Sam Bradford. So Sam is just an interesting guy to defend. When he played in Pittsburgh last week, on the opening drives of each half, so the opening drive of the first game, he was 4 for 4, touchdown in the first drive. And the opening drive of the third quarter, he was 4 for 4 and a touchdown. I mean, he looks unbeatable. And in between that, though, he was 14 of 25, 2 interceptions and 2 sacks. So you kind of get these the two Sam Bradfords. And he will – he's a fairly accurate passer, 68%. But what Sam will do every once in a while, he'll give you one, and he'll make a mistake. And the key is, can the Saints make him pay? They don't have a pickoff yet, but when he makes his mistakes, and he will, I mean, he'll make some good passes, but he'll make a couple of just, you know, pickoff throws. And if the Saints don't take advantage of that, that is going to be really, really problematic. And so that's the Saints D versus the Seattle offense. From a Saints offensive standpoint against the Seattle D, it really becomes up front. Dylan Redens is not going to play at left guard. He didn't make the trip, so he's out. Trevor Penning has been limited to practice, but working himself back at left guard. Taliaferro Fuaga hasn't practiced yet. Now, they don't practice till this afternoon. It's 10:30 here, so they don't practice till later this afternoon. So, you know, he's almost he could be kind of a rest. You know, he's got a knee and a back, but he's from Tacoma, wants to play here badly, never played at Lumen Field, so he really wants to play, feels like he can play, but you really need him, because I'm not, you know, without Dylan, if you hope Trevor can get in. If Trevor can play and Fuaga can play, you're back to your original five starters, but if not, I mean, you have some backups that really have not played a lot against a defensive front in Seattle that is just, they had 3 sacks on Aaron Rodgers last week and didn't bring corner blitzes or linebackers. That was just their defensive tackles and defensive ends. So they are stout up front. Where they're kind of hurt and banged up is in their secondary for Seattle. So can this offensive line give Spencer some time to maybe take advantage of where they're not at their 100% strength and get some passes to Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave and Devon Valet, just and get a little, you know, something a little more than 13, 14 yards, right? Nothing. They've had very little yards after the catch. And you're going to have some bigger plays in Seattle and run the ball with some effectiveness. And Alvin's had a great job. Alvin had almost 100 yards rushing last week. Didn't feel like it, kind of, but they've really just not had a lot of explosive plays, the Saints offense. 3 in two games. And, you know, if you think you're going to take it 75, 80 yards every time down the field against this Seattle defense, it's tough. And then you can't settle for threes instead of seven. And then, quite frankly, Blake Groovy's missed a couple of short ones. So they have the work cut out for them, but that's why they play the game.
Michael, what kind of practice did they have this week? I mean, was it were they upbeat? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's early, right? And they – you know, they really practiced, you know, Monday was a, you know, kind of filled walkthrough. Tuesday, they're off. Wednesday was your kind of your most normal practice. That's mostly your install. And then they practiced Thursday and got on a plane, flew for 4.5 hours, right? So now it's today practicing at the University of Washington. Tomorrow will be pretty much just a walkthrough. So it's been a little, you know, disjointed, but that's the way Kellen wanted it. He wanted to get him out here, get used to practicing outside, playing on grass, you know, and here as opposed to Metairie. So yeah, I mean, these next two, right? You get Seattle, and then you got to go to the other end of the world in Buffalo, and You know, it didn't make it easy on them. The NFL said, well, you know, Buffalo, here's what we're gonna do. You play on Thursday. We're gonna give you a mini bye before you play the Saints. So Buffalo's off. And the 3-0 Buffalo Bills are off until they play the Saints on Sunday. So, I thought it was 21-21 Miami and Buffalo in the fourth quarter. So, you know, yeah, they're upbeat. They're for an 0-2 team. There's not, you know, this woe is me. They didn't get blown out. They've had the ball with a chance to tie or win the first two games. Now, you know, that's good, but W's are what matters, you know, in the end. But I do feel like this is not a dejected team. They've done some things very well, just haven't made the plays, haven't taken advantage early. If they have played their worst football early, and it seems like they don't get going until they're down two scores, and then it's like a different team. Look at Spencer Rattler. He completed 22 of his final 23.
Right. Yeah.
Three touchdowns. I mean, if you just kind of look at his numbers, you go, oh, well, they won that game, right? You know, three touchdowns, played 14 in a row, 22 of his final, but they get behind, you know, by two scores, and it's, oh, they flip a switch. So they got to figure out a way to flip that switch earlier.
Yeah, and with some unfortunate injuries, too. I mean, you know, again, we're playing musical chairs on the front line, and we seem to have been doing that for the past several years.
Yeah, it's when it's a position, and this is a team that kind of really had poked and banked on their starting five kind of being there, because they went and brought in Austin Richards in a trade on August 26th, Luke Fortner, was after the Jacksonville game. They picked up Xavier Truss on August 27th. They just picked up a couple of guys yesterday as they made some more roster moves. So your backups and your swing guys who you really kind of hoped you wouldn't be playing are playing. And they didn't spend any time at camp with you. They need as much time as possible. And what you didn't want is exactly what's happened. Trevor Penning, Fuaga, Dylan Redens, who was, you know, he was been your starter. He's out. So you didn't really have the depth at O-line to have a bunch of injuries at one position. It didn't pick any position. If you take a running back and you lose three of them, you're in trouble. And so that's been the situation.
Yeah. Special teams. Well, let me first say it. Darnold has two interceptions that he's thrown already this year.
Last week.
And this is obviously an opportunity for the Saints to think about that. Darnold has not really had incredible games, although he's thrown for more yards than Rattler, but it's been a little dicey.
Yeah, it's feast or famine. I mean, he was pretty average in week one, you know, no, against San Francisco, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but, you know, just kind of game management. And they, you know, they, it was a low scoring game. And, you know, and other than those two drives to start the game and to start the second half, he was, you know, very ordinary. And so, yeah, here's the difference being, if you let him stand back there like you let Mac Jones and don't get a lot of pressure and don't move him off his spot, he'll kill you. I mean, any quarterback will kill you. You're going to have to get at him and hopefully get at him with your front three and four so that you don't have to send a lot of blitzes because, you know, they got Cooper Kupp, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Torrey Horton. They got some receivers that could do some damage. You got to get him off his spot. You got to make him uncomfortable. So that, and when he does make that mistake, it can't go through your hands. It's got to be in your hands, pick off.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we look forward to listening to you and Deuce, obviously, and Jeff. And
Jeff Nowak.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Jeff Nowak on the sideline.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Nowak on the sideline, yes, thank you. And we always enjoy that, and it's going to be a tough game out there. It's different. It's hard to describe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Saints fans would appreciate it. They're like Saints fans. I mean, yeah, they are passionate, just crazed Saints fans. They just play in, you know, in a different world because we're so close to Alaska right now. I mean, Canada. I could rent a car and go to Canada. You were up here, baby.
Can you see Russia from there?
I'm not going there. No, but it's a beautiful area. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Especially when the weather's good there, it's hard to beat for sure. It's a pretty, pretty area. Yep. But best of luck. Bring it home, man. We need it for sure.
Friend. You bet. Talk to you.
All righty. Mike Hawes, voice of the New Orleans Saints. We'll be right back, folks. Stay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. So Sunday it's a 3:05 game start, and our game day with WWL starts at 11 a.m. with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Then at 1 o'clock, join Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. They'll break down the matchup at 3:05. Deuce Hawson, Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Then after the game, you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the point after. If you love football, 10 hours of wall-to-wall black and gold coming your way. Saints, Seahawks. And I don't know about you, but I love what Ian Ozan is doing with the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup every Friday night. He and Coach Lou Valden at 7 o'clock for the comprehensive high school football show in America. They'll broadcast live from Archbishop Shaw as the Eagles host Archbishop Rummel. Other big matchups include McDonough 35 at Endicar, Alexandria Destrehan, St. Charles Catholic at Dunham, Jesuits at Bonneville, De La Salle's at St. Paul's, and a whole lot more. So get ready for Friday Night Lights, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper from 7 to 10:30 tonight on WWL. And then, of course, our coverage of the LSU game on Saturday as well with Mike Dettillier and Herb Tyler and the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show live from the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. So come out and do the countdown with them out at Acme. They only have 16 surround sound TVs and the best drink specials. Been there, done that. It is a great time. All thanks to the good folks at Map Construction. Then the pregame show. Kickoff is at 6:45 with Chris Blair, who I love, and analyst Jacob Hester. Tigers versus the Lions tomorrow on WWL. Man, we got a lot of football. A lot of important things got to happen for us this weekend as well. So stay tuned. We will be right back and check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way on Free for All Friday. All right, folks, Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up today, Scoot, on Free For All Friday?
Hey, it sounds like an appropriate song to lead into our show, Free Falling, because, you know, we never know where things are going to go. Yeah, we'll talk about the
especially
states
on Friday, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not that it's any different than any other day, but we try to make it seem different Monday through Thursday. You know, we try to make it seem responsible, but it's not. So, look, the Saints have this big game in Seattle. You know, they could win. I mean, they could win. There are some good things happening with the Saints, and what if they put it together? LSU is going to beat up on Southeastern. Tulane has a big game. Tulane can go 3-0, which would be pretty amazing. And also, we'll talk about this big alligator in Bayou St. John, and there's a reality show that is using some video it shouldn't use in New Orleans. We'll talk about that.
Scoot's headed your way, folks, with a great lineup. Stay tuned. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Monday morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.